This is the Bryant Park Project podcast. Congratulations, you found us. I'm Luke Burbank, and I've gathered a quorum of Bryant Park Project staffers here with me, although we only have like four employees, so that's not really saying very much, I guess. We do have Matt Martinez,
Hello.
Supervising senior producer of the show, and also Dan Pashman, the recently married Dan Pashman
hey.
With us.
Yeah, congratulations.
And thank you.
I know, Dan, you have a video of your wedding karaoke on YouTube already. That's technology. That's what they thought about when they invented the internet,
that's
really.
Brilliant. When was that, Sunday?
It was Sunday, and by Monday night, there was a video of us doing karaoke at our wedding online.
Jeez. And already 107 people have viewed it.
Actually, 93 of those are me.
Well, congratulations, Dan. I've called you here though to sort of share with you a tale of airline woe that I had this week.
And this is actually, you don't mind me jumping in, a continuation of our editorial meeting this morning, because we just thought this was a nice conversation. We just wanted to continue it, which is, you know, so it's not, you know,
I was basically grumbling. I was basically grumbling in the editorial meeting, and they said, "That's grumbling gold. Record that."
That's 10 minutes of the show right there.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm gonna
that
go
could
get
be
get
our
some
actual
coffee.
Show. Yeah. So here we are actually recording it. And what happened to me this week was I had a flight from Los Angeles to Seattle where I got bumped, and a flight from Seattle to D.C. yesterday where I got bumped. These were two different flights. And on both flights, I had a ticket for the flight, and I had actually checked in, and I was actually there before the flight boarded, and I was not allowed on either flight. Well, actually, I was allowed on one of the flights, but I'll get to that in a minute. I'm leaving Seattle for D.C., and I'm checked in online, and I have my ticket, and I show up. And by the way, I'm flying first class on this flight. And because what happened was, if you've ever been bumped up to first class, you know there's no going back.
Yeah.
And I was recently bumped up
oh
to
my
first
God.
Class.
It is a sweet feeling when you're bumped up to first class. It's
you don't
like you're
you don't
king
care. It's a it's a totally different experience. Like it's not all of the things that suck about flying. Are out of the equation when you're flying first class.
You actually get sad when you land.
Yeah, exactly. I have seriously thought, hey, let's just take this thing to Monaco. Don't even land it. You know what I mean? Like, it's so unbelievably awesome. So the other day, I ponied up the 10,000 air miles so I could upgrade to first class. I'm so excited about this. I told you guys in the editorial meeting yesterday when I was driving to the airport, I was like bragging about it, like, I'm going to be first class.
Hey, did you get those miles back?
Supposedly, although I haven't actually checked my
All
account.
Right.
So I show up, I'm there, I'm on time, I got my ticket, and the woman's like, is there something wrong with your ticket? And I'm like, what? So she sends me over to the person at the desk. The woman says, oh yeah, you weren't here 40 minutes before when we started boarding, so we gave your first class ticket away.
That's ridiculous.
As you can imagine, my monocle fell out of my eye. I almost hit her with my gold walking stick. I basically was the guy from Monopoly. I was wearing a top hat for some reason. But here's what I figured out. The problem on both flights for me was that both flights were super duper oversold.
Right.
And so they were looking for any reason to boot people off of these flights. And so I was steaming about it all day yesterday. And lo and behold, on the cover of the New York Times newspaper, there's maybe it's not on the cover. It was in the business section. Was a big story in the New York Times about people getting bumped from their flights. They say that the number of flyers bumped against their will is expected to reach an all-time high for the decade this year.
The decade.
For the decade, right? And they say – because what basically happens is – and they profiled U.S. Airways, this New York Times article. But you can assume that it's like this on most other airlines. They have, you know, the whole plane. Most of the seats are unrefundable, but there are a small number of really high-priced tickets that, like, businessmen buy, business people buy the day before, and they're $1,000.
Because I actually don't think actual people buy those tickets.
Right.
They're way too
those
expensive.
Like, if you go on orbit sometimes and you're trying to fly from, like, Los Angeles to San Diego, and it's, like, $43,000.
Right, exactly.
And it makes four stops, and you're going, wait a minute. It's like someone's buying those tickets, and those are these, you know, companies. They don't really care. So those tickets are refundable. So the airlines are terrified of flying the plane without having it be completely full of people. So they purposefully put more people on the flight than they have seats, and they just figure a certain percentage of them are going to not show up for the flight. But what happens sometimes is that everyone does show up, and everyone's holding a real ticket, and not everyone gets to be on the plane. And how would you like to be that person at the gate who has to say to some angry passenger, "Look, I know you have a ticket. I know you're going to see your cousin's wedding. in Des Moines, but sorry, you're not going to get there today. And what's really bad is that because the flights, all the other flights are oversold, they say that this is also airlines are flying at the highest capacity that they ever have before. So like 85% of flights are completely full, in fact, oversold. So you can't even get on the next flight or the next flight or the next flight, and you've done nothing wrong. So what's happening, though, is that there's this whole beef kind of between, at least according to this New York Times article, this kind of beef between the ticket agents, the people that are there at that little, you know, sort of desk where you get on the plane, and some like MIT grad math whizzes who are in an office complex somewhere, because the math whizzes, they come up with these computer models about how many people don't show up for flights. And their goal is to perfectly overbook the flight so every flight is 100%. Well, that doesn't really happen. So what happens is they'll greatly overbook a flight, and the people at the gates will have to get screamed at all day by people wearing monocles. So so what happens is the people at the gate, the poor front line, these are the infantry people of this war between the airlines and the passengers, they will create all kinds of fake bookings, and they'll put like Mickey Mouse as the name, or the U.S. Airways people
will
sometimes
brilliant.
They'll put Douglas Parker, and Douglas Parker is the he's the CEO of U.S. Airways. They'll put his name on a whole block of tickets so that then everyone who's on the flight can get on. But then the computer sees a bunch of no-shows because Mickey Mouse doesn't show up, Douglas Parker doesn't show up, and then the computer thinks, oh, there's lots of no-shows on these flights. Let's just go ahead and keep overbooking every flight. So it's a vicious
cycle. They
actually
even overbook it more the next time.
Right.
Because they say, oh, we didn't overbook enough to fill all the seats the last time.
Well, and a couple other interesting things that were in this article. One was that the guy writing this article, Jeff Bailey, says that basically only fear of angering people keeps the airlines from overbooking more.
Jeez.
So basically, you know, you standing at the counter screaming at someone, that is the only control system on this. Otherwise, they'd be overbooking the flight by 300% or something.
That's amazing.
And then the other thing that they pointed out was that people paying the cheapest fares, which are typically the non-refundable ones, those people show up in very, very high numbers. The people paying the most, you know, these business travelers that we talked about, they more frequently, you know, bail on flights.
So counterintuitive, you know. I mean, that just proves my point that these guys aren't actually paying for their tickets. You know, if
right,
they were actually shelling
like
out that money for a first class or right. business class ticket, you know, they would right. actually, you would show up. I know I would show up for that.
Yeah. And then also Midwesterners tend to show up for their flights in great numbers, and people leaving Las Vegas often do not show up.
Yeah, I bet. Midwesterners, huh? Right. Well, yeah.
And I thought it was kind of interesting / disturbing that part of the article, Luke, that talked about how, you know, they have all these number crunchers in the office who are in charge of overbooking the flights on purpose. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the week, they get a list of all the flights that had to involuntarily bump more than 10 people off a flight, which is sort of the sign that the overbookers did a bad job on that flight.
Right, right.
They went overboard.
They overbooked.
Right. And so whoever has the most flights in a given week, the most flights over 10 people bumped in a given week, that overbooker person has to have a stuffed animal of a crow kept in their cubicle.
That's it. That's all.
Right. Exactly. Like these
right.
are people's
That'll
lives. Like someone didn't get to see their grandma, and you have a stuffed animal of a crow in your cube for that week.
That's ridiculous.
You know, that's the thing that I don't – I mean, it just sounds like I'm railing, and I'm sure that the, you know, folks that run airlines would say, look, this is a business and it's very straightforward. We're not trying to ruin people's lives. But if you've ever been on a flight and going to, like, say, a funeral or a wedding, I mean, or something that's like one of those life moments you have to be at, and they did this to you, or they decide to not do the flight because they haven't sold enough tickets. That's something else that happens to people sometimes. It is like life ruining. I mean, literally life ruining. And although – I will say, in defense of Alaska Airlines, who I had this saga on, they did. I had a very nice chat with Kurt, one of the flight attendants, in the back while I was waiting to use the restroom, and he did. I'm happy to report, give me 3 free gin and tonics, which made me almost forget about the huge amount of passenger that was spilling over into my seat, in my middle seat, which is to say, the guy next to me was a really large dude. And he was kind of really in my airspace, my internationally recognized airspace in my seat.
Yeah.
All complaining aside, though, I did make it to D.C. safe and sound. And I'm happy to report that when I come up to New York next week to be with you, I will be taking the train.
Yes.
Excellent.
Love the train.
Which
train's
is,
never
which is,
late. Yeah, that's yeah. never late.
And never overbooked.
And it's never overbooked.
All right. Thanks for hearing me out, guys. I appreciate it. This is the Bryant Park Project.